Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, here for your Vanderpump Rules after show recap. We got episode 12 today, just in time for episode 13, which is airing tomorrow. I'm recording on Monday. I'm sorry I don't have, you know, a steady day that I release these after show recaps, but I have to be honest, I just can't do it on a specific day. My schedule's so insane right now. And, you know, I work a full-time job on top of doing the podcast and my Instagram account. And surprisingly, the Instagram account takes up a lot of time. And people are like, where's my Twitter roundup? Which is fine, because I enjoy doing them. But at the end of the day, you know, there's only so much time. There's only so much time in a day. And, you know, so I have to just do these after show recaps when I can, you know. Try to get them out before the next episode so that they're relevant. So this one, I am cutting it down to the wire, but you know what? It'll be fresh in your heads. You will have this recap. Well, it's not a recap of the episode, but you'll have this information. And then you'll go right into episode 13 tomorrow, which I'm sure we're all excited and also dreading. And by the way, if you don't listen to my weekly news episodes, you should listen to this one this week, because there is so much Vanderpump Rules stuff happening, and I've got some tea and some, you know, I'm going to be recapping like some of the interviews that have been done recently, like in the last week, things Ariana has said, things other cast members have said. Joe did like an Instagram live and said a bunch of stupid things, and it's just, there's a lot like this. I was thinking about it and I'm like, am I enjoying this season? Ultimately, my answer is going to have to be yes, even though I'm extremely frustrated and angry with this season. It's getting an emotional reaction out of me, and that's something. And I do look forward to the next episode, because I'm just like, what's going to piss me off next? And you know what? I'd rather be mad about Vanderpump Rules and be thinking about how I'm annoyed about that and the cast and, oh, I can't believe they're blaming her for that. And I can't believe I'd rather be doing that than being upset about like real things that matter. not that I'm not upset about real things that matter, but it's a distraction from the upsetness or the worry about, you know, terrible things that are going on in the world and, you know, the general day-to-day looming thoughts that haunt me. Okay, so this is not a podcast where you are my therapist and I tell you things. This is a podcast where we talk about the Vanderpump Rules after show. Oh, and by the way, Jax and the Toms have invaded my city, okay? So they were in Toronto, and I believe they're in Montreal again, or that they went to Montreal as well, which is where my sister lives. But, you know, just get out, guys. We don't want you here, but they're here nonetheless. Although, you know, I do want you here in the sense that, you know, we want tourism in the greater Toronto area. But that being said, just knowing that Jax and those men are out, you know, terrorizing the streets of Toronto and the women there. I mean, all the videos I've seen, it's pretty harmless. You know, Tom Sandoval doing that same old stupid dance move that he does and pouring shots in people's mouths, etc. But rumor has it that he slept with his publicist in the bathroom at a Toronto club. So that's all I know as of now, but I'm going to try and find out more. For the Friday recap, Friday news, I should say. Okay, so let's get into it. Episode 12, the first topic that is discussed is Sandoval and Raquel, which is that not in a way always the topic on some level, I guess? So James goes on a full rant, which it's hilarious. Listen, I know there's a lot of controversy around James right now, right? Because like Kristen has made these accusations that he's abusive, and we've seen him be certainly verbally abusive, like no question about that. But you know, I think that's made a lot of people kind of step back from quote unquote stanning him, because he was definitely getting a lot of stans last season. And you know, I'm in that camp as well of like, we don't need to, you know, stan everyone on reality TV, and we should watch it kind of knowing that just because someone is entertaining doesn't mean that they're a good person. But at the same time, a bad person can be entertaining. Jax Taylor is a great example. But, you know, at the end of the day, saying that James said something funny or that he was right about something, it does not negate any of that other stuff, certainly. And again, you know, that story is one that I think will unfold over time. But I don't know. We'll see. It's, you know, to be seen. All right. So James goes on a rant about how it was not love between Tom and Raquel. Well, like, duh. Which I think anyone with a brain could see. And said it was pure horniness. And and he mentions that they would have sex in the bathroom and then go, and then he would go up to bed with Ariana, which I was like, whoa, is that a reference to like a specific time that he slept with her when Ariana was in the house? I don't know. Or was he just saying that, like, was he being hyperbolic and just being like, here's an exaggerated situation just to show how messed up Tom Sandoval is? Could go either way, but it did, you know, it raised my eyebrow a little. So he says, you know, Raquel even said this on her podcast, which she did, right? She did say, like, she basically more or less was like, I thought I was in love, right? So Sandoval maybe even thought he was in love. A lot of people do that when they start a relationship. Like, you're so obsessed with the person. People confuse infatuation for love, or they confuse lust for love. Like, that happens. There's actually a psychological term for it, which I cannot remember the name of right now. You know what, though? It's interesting to know. Okay, if I remember, I'll let you know. Somebody out there is listening and probably knows it and is yelling it at me right now. But yeah, send it to me. Send me a DM. What's it called? But there is a term. I heard about it on a podcast, a relationship podcast once. They were talking about it. So Brittany says it's like a punch in the face for Raquel to say this, because it's like she ruined people's lives for no reason. She's like, you know, at least if they were in love, it would have been for something, which I actually do understand Brittany's point. I don't really agree with it because it sounds good on the surface. But then when you think about it more, it's like, whether they were in love or not is kind of irrelevant. What they did was still messed up either way. But I understand what Brittany's saying. It's like, you did all this for essentially a booty call in a way, or like a drawn out booty call, whatever you want to call it. You know, it kind of feels that way. I guess it quote unquote cheapens it. Lala says she still thinks, you know, Sandoval painted a very fake portrayal for Raquel and sold her something and like a fantasy and an idea that she fell in love with, which I would agree with that. Again, this is not taking away any sort of responsibility or culpability on Raquel's part. I'm just saying that she did, I think, believe, you know, that this could be something and that he was going to help her make her dreams come true and just all that kind of stuff. I really do think that she thought that. Okay, so Lala understands this because of her own experience. So as usual, Lala cannot help but bringing up her own experience. Listen, it's okay once in a while. That's how we relate to other humans. You know, we compare, we contrast, we compartmentalize. That's a normal thing to do, but Lala just does it too much, like to the point that it's like, girl, you're making us all tired. And you're also making us just feel like you are just pissed off that your situation didn't get more attention, which I think at this point we all kind of see that, right? Like Lala's upset that her thing wasn't bigger than it was. But again, I digress because I have talked about that enough times. So James says it's all BS because, you know, he would have, you know, sex with Raquel. He would kiss Ariana and say he loves her and then repeat 4 months. Exactly. Again, this wasn't a one-time thing. It was ongoing. There's a difference between ongoing and once. Like I was rewatching, not to open up the Real Housewives of Potomac box, but I've been rewatching it. And I'm on season 5, which is like the notorious fight between Monique and Candace. And, you know, the initial hits and holding of Candace's hair it's wild. But what is even crazier is like, you know, afterwards, she keeps trying to get at her and then like runs around the barn to like go give her, like hit her again, you know, like she wants to. And she's like, I'm going to kill her. So it's kind of like, okay, you can't really say that it was just like a crazy moment and that you like regretted it right after. Like you can't really say that when you were like trying to go back for more, right? And that's kind of like Sandoval here. Like he's like, you went back again and again and again, right? So you can't really say that it was like a momentary lapse. Right. He wanted us to all believe that at the reunion. But then obviously Raquel blew his cover and no one believed that it was a one time thing. Anyways, Sandoval says he doesn't know where Raquel is. He hasn't spoken to her, but he wishes her best of luck and good riddance. I'm like, OK, so you don't wish her best of luck because good riddance kind of contradicts that. But anyways, you can tell he's so salty. And like, I don't think he's salty necessarily because she like did her own thing. Well, I think that's part of it, actually. But I think he's salty because, you know, she told a bunch of his secrets and kind of blew his cover with what she admitted after the reunion in that little last confessional. And then he's salty because she's a woman who is not obsessed with him. Like, he's like, oh, you're not like my fangirl anymore. Well, screw you. You suck. And honestly, I think that's why his relationship with Ariana got, you know, I think that's why he quote unquote fell out of love with her, because she grew, time went by, and she stopped being his fangirl. And that's all he wants. So they start to talk about the podcast with Raquel. So Bethany's podcast, but none of them will ever say Bethany's name. I feel like in the Bravo world now, like if you're working for Bravo and you say Bethany, it's like the same as saying Voldemort at Hogwarts. Like you cannot say Bethany. Okay. So they start to ask James about that. He gets super annoyed. Like I was actually surprised at how annoyed he got. And then he says he doesn't want to talk about her and that podcast and that he thinks it should be banned. Podcasting, like the people on the show podcasting and talking about the show. And I was like, oh, there's a stance. I wonder if he means like having their own show or going on other shows to talk about it. I don't know, but he doesn't like it. And like, he wasn't saying this in a joking tone. So I don't know. I wonder why. I mean, he is like one of the only cast members who doesn't have a podcast. So, but again, he has another talent, which is DJing, right? And he can go and make like, you know, I don't know where I read this, but I do remember reading that he gets like 40 to 50K for a DJ gig if it's like a bigger gig, which like, to be honest, he played in Toronto at like a big club. And, you know, I looked it up just out of curiosity and the tickets were like pretty expensive and it was sold out. So like he obviously can bring a crowd in. Like, no, he's not at the level of like Avicii was or something, but rest in peace. But still, You know, he still, he plays clubs, he travels around. I'm sure he makes good money, and I'm sure he makes good money on the show. But a lot of these other people, like, they don't necessarily have, you know, Sheena's gonna, like, Sheena's still trying with music. But a lot of them, like, they don't necessarily have another thing. And you need another thing because you don't know how long the show is going to last. That's why I'm always so, like, proud of the Bravo celebrities who have another thing or make another thing while they're on it, or at least try in a serious, like, not like a stupid storyline type of way, you know? And I think, like, I do think the Toms were serious about that with Schwartz and Sandys, but, you know, not serious enough to not ruin their entire reputation and business. Okay, so Lala and Brittany say Raquel's DeLulu and living in DeLulu land. They said that. I didn't choose to use DeLulu, although I don't mind that word. It's kind of funny. Sheena says Raquel acts like she did Sheena like such a big favor by having her on her podcast. So if you don't know this, Raquel went on Sheena's podcast after her and James broke off the engagement and basically went on to, you know, talk about her relationship with James, etc. Right? Maybe that's why James is so anti-podcast. And so I guess Raquel kind of mentioned or made comments a couple times about, you know, she was doing Sheena a favor by being a guest. But Sheena says she wanted to come on. She asked me to come on. And then Sheena says that when Raquel came on, she had like a page of notes of things that she wanted to say about her breakup with James. And Sheena's like, basically, she was a filler. Lala said kind of the same thing, like basically that a few years ago, you know, Raquel was acting like, you know, going on Lala's podcast was like Lala was booking Beyonce or something. And Lala's like, yeah, we needed a filler. Get over it, basically. Sheena says Raquel needed a place to live. You know, and she said, you can have my apartment, you can watch my cat. And she was only originally supposed to stay for a short period of time, but then it kept getting extended. So Brock says they felt bad because she just acts like a helpless kitten, but it was mutually beneficial and that she wasn't doing them a favor. So I take that. Like, to me, that sounds like the truth. It was mutually beneficial because Sheena's acting like it was only beneficial for Raquel, and Raquel's acting like she was doing them a big favor. It was probably somewhere in the middle, to be honest, in the sense that they had this vacant apartment. They needed someone to take care of the cat and to take care of the apartment. Raquel was contributing like a small portion of the rent. It doesn't sound like it was a big portion. You know, but Brock does say mutually beneficial. So, you know, I think that that's probably the truth. She kept wanting to extend her stay, though, is what Sheena says. And she kept saying, okay, can I stay for another month for 1,000? Can I stay for another month for 1,000? Because she was paying 1,000. But I guess the rent was 4,500. So it's not that much. No, she's not contributing that much. Sheena and Brock were moving back to the West Side. And, you know, Raquel was going to have to just figure something out. So in terms of how close Ariana and Raquel were, because this is another contentious point, because Raquel's trying to say that her and Ariana were not that close on Bethany's podcast. So Brittany says this is BS and that she knows that they were close and that they were super close. She says Raquel was over at her house all the time and it's so disrespectful. I mean, now we know why she was there all the time. Lala, but either way, whether you gave a shit about Ariana or you were just using her to sleep with her boyfriend, you still played the facade of a close friend. And if you didn't really care about her that whole time, that's almost worse. Like, it's such a betrayal, right? And whether how you felt is kind of irrelevant. The point is that you hung out with her all the time and Ariana thought you were one of her closest friends. So Lala says it's BS and she's just trying to justify her actions. And basically, if she had known Raquel was going to say all of this on Bethany's podcast, she would have never reached out to her. Oh, okay, Lala. Lala is just, the only reason she reached out to her is because she's just trying to make more drama and she's playing producer puppet. And now it's like, oh, well, if I had known, like, it's just the whole thing. Like, she takes one little snippet that Raquel said about how, you know, Tom was the only person that she had or whatever. And she runs with that, even though Raquel had done so many other things. And it's like Lala just forgets about those. You have to look at people's actions. Anyone can say anything. Tom Sandoval is great evidence of that. People can say the right things, or they can say things that sound believable. Sorry, I can't talk today. But what are their actions saying? And that was one thing that really bothered me with Lala's flip-flop, is it's like, you should know by now. If we're going to keep going back to Lala's past, which she loves to do, Rand clearly said some right things that convinced you to stay. But what about his actions? So Ariana says it just proves that Raquel was fake and never cared about her. But in reality, they were close friends. And Raquel stayed at her house when they were out of town. They traveled together. They celebrated holidays. Like, listen, Ariana does not need to prove this to any of us. I think we all know that. So I forgot to write down who said this next point. I think it was James. I don't know why I didn't write it down, but basically when the breakup happened, Raquel was the new quote unquote it girl. And I feel like one of the girls wouldn't have said that. So I feel like it was probably James. And of course she was close with Tom. And of course she would downgrade their friendship because it helps her argument. Right? Just like Tom did with James. Actually, that could have been Brittany too. I can't remember who it was. Katie says she also thinks the person who hosts the podcast, Bethany, doesn't fully understand the history and the dynamics of the group, the shows, etc., and is coming from a very wrong place, and that Raquel's getting very, very bad advice. Exactly. Listen, it must be so satisfying for Katie and Ariana, and in this case, kind of most of the cast, to see the public's reaction to this podcast, because we're all on that page. It was, I mean, there was so much backlash. Everyone could see that Bethany was using Raquel. What a mistake. Like, just what a huge mistake. And then you have people like Raquel's parents who like encouraged her and were like, oh, Bethany's a visionary or whatever Raquel's mom said. Like, she's just got the wrong people in her corner all the way. Ariana says the podcaster was then pissed and did all these follow-up episodes because she was getting so much backlash. Because again, she didn't know the subject well enough and then was mad about it, which exactly. And she says, does no one learn from Howie Mandel? Apparently, well, Bethany doesn't learn from anything. Bethany lives in such a, I don't know, like an echo chamber. And she just, I doubt she would even listen or do any research ahead of time because I think she's too much of an egomaniac. So Sandoval says if Raquel wants to move on, she should stop talking about him and Vanderpump Rules on a weekly basis. But at the same time, she needs to get paid. So he understands that. And it's Rich that she's talking about getting exploited when she's doing the same thing. Which that is true. Although she didn't get paid for that interview, which Jax then says it's messed up that Raquel didn't get paid for that interview. Exactly. but it is Rich, and I hate Raquel even more now because she's making me agree with Sandoval, but it is Rich that she's claiming she's taken advantage of and all this kind of stuff, but she's profiting off of it. And she's still, like, if it was just that one interview or a couple interviews, but it is a year later. Every single damn episode that this girl puts out about Rachel Goes Rogue or whatever is about Vanderpump Rules. And you know why? Honestly, I don't think she has anything else interesting to talk about. And I don't even mean that in, well, maybe I do, but I was going to say, I don't mean that in a super shady way. I don't really have that much else interesting to talk about besides Bravo shows. Well, I mean, Yeah. Like, I'm like, what else would I talk about if I didn't have this topic? Right. But the thing is I'm not acting like I'm above it. She is acting like she's above it and like she's better than it. And like she's moved on and she's evolved and she's in this mental place. Okay. So if you're going to have that attitude, then you can't have that attitude. I mean, you can, but people are going to call you out on it. So then we jump to Kristen getting pregnant, because now I know this is the Vanderpump Rules after show, but they do have a little bit of Valley stuff. It's not a lot. So if you're not a Valley watcher, this will not be a super long part, but stick with me because you know who Kristen Doty is. So Kristen says she felt very judged, especially by Jax. Jax says, you know, Kristen went through a lot after she got fired from Vanderpump. He says mentally, financially, she had to move into an apartment. You know, she was also trying to get pregnant with her ex, Alex. And then 2 weeks later, she was with Luke trying to get pregnant with him. Listen, I get what Jax is saying in the sense of like, Kristen was going through a hard time. And I do understand, you get fired. You had bought a house. Now you have to sell the house and move into an apartment. You're in this not great relationship, but you just want to have a baby. Like, I get it. It kind of, the optics are not great. However, again, Kristen could, you know, get out of the relationship, see things differently. Now she's on, has another show, has another job. Like, it's just not for him to say. And I could have said maybe he shouldn't have had a baby because does a lot of coke and might have an issue, right? There's always an argument that can be made, right? But at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't ready to be parents, and we don't police it. Like, we can't police who gets pregnant. We just can't. And we shouldn't. Jack says she had no job at the time. And he's like, you know, I just don't think she thinks about how she needs to feed herself and the baby and health insurance and da da da. Okay, Jax, worry about your marriage that is completely falling apart. That is what you should be worrying about. Kristen says he should focus on his wife and giving her attention instead of her. Exactly. Listen, do I think Kristen Doty is like a little crazy? Yes, maybe a lot crazy. And do I think that maybe her having a baby is a good idea? I don't really know. Based on what I've seen so far, maybe she should wait a little bit just to make sure things are more stable with Luke. However, on the other hand, if she believes that Luke would be like a solid co-parent, even if they broke up, then all right, it's up to her. At the end of the day, though, like, it's her decision and her decision alone. Well, her and Luke. And if they both want to do it, they are consenting adults. And that's it. Period. Jack says if this happens, pregnancy, she won't be able to handle it. And he says the friends will end up helping all the time, including him, which I find hard to believe because based on what I'm hearing from Brittany, it doesn't sound like he's that helpful with their own child, and that it sounds like he doesn't do a lot. Like, that's how in all the interviews I've seen with Brittany, she really makes it sound like he is not helpful with the child. And that's his own child. So I don't know, like, Jax is kind of DeLulu, isn't he? In a different way, but he is. Luke says the marriage doesn't matter. It's just a government paper. Lots of people have babies. And even if you are married, a lot of people get divorced. That is true. There is no guarantee in life. You could, you know, Luke could, knock on wood, but Luke could get hit by a bus after Kristen has the baby. Like, there is no guarantee. Don't worry, I did the knock on wood. Okay, so then Sheena talks about her song, Apples. Sheena says they went to write a song and the songwriters were like, what's going on in your life? And she was like, well, we had this betrayal in my group, as if that conversation happened. As if they said, so Sheena, like, what's going on with you? Like, you think people that know and have ever worked with Sheena are not, have not heard of Scandoval at this time? Like, it's just I don't care if she's like making up this little narrative just to make it easier to explain to the audience and the cameras. That's fine. It's just so dumb. Okay. Sandoval said he's pissed because she is riding this into the ground. Well, you should be pissed at yourself. because it wouldn't be there if you hadn't done it. So Jax laughs during this, but it's not clear why. I don't know if he was laughing just because, like, oh God, Sandoval, like, that's your own fault, or because it wasn't like a clear, like, laughing at Sheena. So I'm not sure. Sandoval says, you know, have some respect, which again, I can't, whenever this guy talks about having respect and betrayal, I got to move on. So Sheena says she did dial it back once Allie passed away, but it was also just so easy to talk about because that's what everyone was talking about. And every guest who came on the podcast wanted to talk about it. And at the end of the day, it was a hot topic, but there did come a time where she dialed it back. But again, they had already started writing Apples and it was a good song. Which, listen, I feel bad that his friend passed away, but to me, like, that just has nothing to do with the whole Scandoval thing. Like, it just really doesn't. And at the end of the day, it was what everyone was talking about. It was like the biggest, if, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, entertainment news story of the time. So I get it. Like, I just get Sheena's side here. Now, that being said, Sheena is like a friend to all is a friend to none. Like, she's seems like she's thirsty to be friends with Sandoval again at the detriment, you know, to the detriment of her relationship with Ariana. But then she goes and she's still writing a song and trying to make money and pissing him off. So it's like, who do you want to be friends with? Like, I'm down for you pissing off Sandoval, but you said you wanted to be friends with him. Like, it's like, who? So she hasn't. This is Sheena, though. She has no loyalty. Really, at the end of the day, Sheena's out for Sheena and she always will be. Sheena says he was hurt and heated by this, but also thought maybe she kind of thought he might be able to laugh about it. She's like, I thought maybe he would do a cover of it. Like, okay. This cast, they are so, every time I think they can't get more DeLulu, they do. It's just, it's too much. Although it is funny that I liked the shade there of like, oh, he can do a cover song because I'm at least releasing original music. Brock says, really, Sandoval shouldn't be mad because Raquel deserves a diss track and that Sheena has the right to express herself and that, you know, music is like people express what they've gone through and what they're thinking about. So I kind of see his point there. Although, again, like, this didn't really happen to Sheena, but I understand in the sense that, like, she was talking about her friendship with Raquel. So that's fair. Schwartz says maybe if she'd kind of given Sandoval a heads up, he might not have been as upset. And Sandoval agrees. I do not. I think he just would have gotten mad sooner. Kristen says if Ariana is okay with it, it's fair game. Thank you. The only person I actually think they should get permission from is actually Ariana. She was the victim in this. It was her relationship that fell apart, and it's her best friend who wants to write a song and make money about it. Sandoval burned all his friendships to the ground as soon as he slept with Raquel, and he has no right to complain, to ask anyone for loyalty, to ask anyone to give him a break. He has forfeited those rights, period. So then they talk about the house, which, what a great episode for those of us who have been Team Ariana with this house thing. And for the record, I was not Team Ariana because, oh, I like Ariana and Sandoval sucks, so I'm going to be Team Ariana with the house, even if she's in the wrong. No, I was Team Ariana because she's right. Okay. This is her legal property. Okay, this is not a house she's renting with her boyfriend. This is not, you know, whatever, anything else like that. She owns it. Okay, you do not walk away from an investment. Most people, the home that they buy is going to be the most expensive, most significant purchase of their entire life. Home ownership, buying a home, being able to, it's a big deal. There's a reason people have freaking housewarming parties. It's a big deal. Okay. So to just walk away from that, this is not like, oh, I bought a pair of, you know, Gucci high heels. This is not okay, you know, we bought a couch together. This is a house, and a house that is worth like at least $3 million at this point, I believe is what people have said is around the worth. And then on top of that, there's like $100,000 worth of designer furniture, art, all that kind of stuff. Like this is not anything to play with. Okay. So I have been on Ariana's side in that vein from the start. Now, there have been so many people, well, if she really wants her peace, why doesn't she just go? It doesn't mean she's forfeiting ownership. Yeah, it kind of does. Because if she goes, and I've said this before, he can do what he will with the things inside of the house that are also worth a large amount of money. And if she, again, like I've said before, if she's got the willpower and the strength to get through that time and to stand her ground, good for her, and she should. Also, anyone who believed Tom Sandoval that he made her this offer that was an actual, you know, legit offer at market value is just deserves to be taken for a ride. I'm sorry. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I will never, as a viewer, be fooled by Tom Sandoval ever again. Like, I never believed kind of him and his good guy shtick in the first place. But when you see that somebody has the capacity to lie and betray the way that on the level that he did, you cannot believe anything that comes out of their mouth. He has forfeited his right to be believed. He's a known liar. Period. And a known liar. If he will lie about that, he'll lie about this, and he'll lie about 50,000 other things. He'll lie about small things. He'll lie about big things. Look what he said to Rachel when he tried to get her to leave the mental facility early. Mental health facility, sorry, early. He was, oh, life is a lie. That's how he thinks. Okay? So listen, Logan overheard Tom telling Lisa he's having second thoughts about selling the house. So this is how Ariana found out. Ariana was pissed because she wanted to sell it from the jump, which, of course, that's what people do usually in these situations. She said, we could have just sold it, split it 50-50, and we could have been out. Yes, thank you. I don't understand what's so hard about that. And I don't understand why people are mad at her for wanting to do the reasonable thing. Oh yeah, misogyny. She basically says Sandoval just doesn't want to listen to the idea from her, even though she's right. And he didn't realize as well what it would realistically take. Of course, because that man lives on his own planet in just a delusional place. Like, he didn't think about that he would have to refinance it to get her name off the mortgage. He would also have to get her name off the HELOC loan, which she co-signed. And if he did this, he wouldn't have his 2021 interest rate, and he would have to re-sign with 2023 inflation interest rate, which is much higher. Again, these are all the things that I think a lot of, you know, misguided people on the internet, or people who just want to be on the man's side for whatever reason, or just they just hate Ariana or whatever. They don't think about these things. Like, people who are just jump the gun, black and white thinkers. Yeah, there's been a change in interest rates. Like, I know that because my mortgage is coming up. I still have like a year, I think, but I've been looking at interest rates. They are so much higher. I'm never going to get the interest rate I have now that I signed for in like 2020 when it was like best case scenario. That's not going to happen again, right? Like, it's just, anyways, it just makes me so mad. I'm sorry. I could talk about this for a year. I get this thing more than anything. Nothing has pissed me off more than this house thing. I don't know why. It just really bothers me. The inherent assumption that Ariana should be the one to leave. I think it's probably like one of the most misogynistic, sexist things that I've seen. And that says a lot on reality TV. Just the expectation and the fact that there has been that such a chunk of the audience who started tooting that horn. And it also pisses me off how easily people will just take someone's word who they know is a liar. This is why, like, I'm not trying to be a victim blamer or anything, but this is why you have people out there who get, you know, manipulated or scammed, like, repeatedly. You got to learn, right? Like that quote, that Maya Angelou quote, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Like, I know it's like all over the internet and people say it all the time. And it's becoming almost a cliche, but it's true. Okay. Maya had something there. I mean, she had lots of great ideas. That was one of them. All right. So Sandoval says it's because she took so long and his financial situation was slightly, and he says slightly, I did not add that in, slightly better prior. Okay. So in 2 months, his financial situation changed so drastically that he couldn't buy her out at market value. Okay. BS. I believe that 0% for all the reasons that I just spent the last 10 minutes saying. Also, didn't he say at the beginning of the season that he was broke? Remember when he buys Schwartz the shoes and they have that conversation in the restaurant and he talks about how he's broke? And he's like going into the red or whatever. So it doesn't sound like your situation has changed. It sounds like it's been destitute from the start. All right. And also the offer was BS, right? Like we saw in one of the after shows and we heard, and again, if I have to choose a party to believe, it's going to be Ariana. And she said straight up, it was a weird offer. It was this email that made no sense. It didn't have any like concrete facts behind it. There was no due diligence done in terms of like the value of the house and the things inside the house. Like that's not a real offer. So you don't get credit for that. Ariana says she had to do her due diligence. There's a difference between what someone wants and reality. Exactly. But again, Tom Sandoval has been raised and has grown up in a world as a good-looking, straight, white male. So he, like, I honestly don't think he can differentiate between what he wants and reality. Like, I think he is so deluded by his own kind of grandiose sense of self that he really believes that he can make things happen and that it's all going to work out. Same reason why Schwartz and Sandy's is such a gong show. Same reason he thought he could do this whole thing with Raquel and make it like a smooth breakup, paint Ariana as the villain. Like and you know what? He's right. Because a lot of the time he's probably had success with this and it's worked out for him. Ariana says she'll worry about her own mental health in terms of people being like, well, what about your mental health? You should move out. By people, I mean like Shayna and Lala. And Ariana's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll worry about my mental health. I'm going to do what's right for me financially. Exactly. Lala's the one who pisses me off the most about this. I don't know if it's that Lala doesn't have the capacity. Like, she's got to be able to understand this. Lala's not dumb. It's just that she doesn't want to understand it. Right? Like, she wants to pretend that the fact that she didn't own Rand's house or the house with Rand, that despite that, it's the same situation, which is crazy. That's just like selective perception at this point. So Lala talking about her baby, she says there was a lot of conversation and consideration before conceiving Ocean. She goes on about how Rand was not sexy and she can't believe she slept with him. Her and Brittany laugh. Listen, Lala has all the rights in the world to talk shit about Rand. Now, there are some people online who are like, that's your baby's dad. Like, maybe you shouldn't say all this or whatever. At the end of the day, I don't think it really matters. There's so much bad stuff out there about him already. I mean, there's a whole LA Times piece. Now, that being said, it is different when it comes from the mother. But didn't she already like sit down for an interview about this? I just think the ship has sailed, maybe, you know, but maybe, I don't know, maybe she should be a little bit more cognizant of how she discusses it. But anyways, she says she would rather be, trigger warning, this is kind of graphic. She would rather be effed with a cheese grater, as Ariana would say, than sleep with her ex again. Okay. Said she chose the donor who had basically the nicest answer about how close he is with his dad and what he wants his kids to know. She says she's not fully prepared to explain where the dad is to her kid, and she's still figuring that out. She says her brothers will be like fathers. Okay, all very touching. But I'm bored. Okay. So James, listen, I fully support Lala in having a baby with a donor. Fully support. Do I hope that she puts more thought into how she's going to broach the conversation? Yeah. But, you know, she's got some time. Let's be honest. Like, a baby is a baby for a while, and then they're a toddler, and it'll be a while before they start asking. She's got some time, but she needs to figure it out. But again, it can be figured out. There's lots of single parents out there with great kids and who are great parents. So James, let's talk about James. He says he only wants kids with Allie, but it'll happen when it happens. He looked shell-shocked in that scene last week. He was like, wait a minute. You are not desperate for my babies? That's what you're telling me? Allie was like, I'm just trying to, like, you know, do horoscopes and, you know, launch a music career. Okay. Danny says from the Valley, by the way, I know we're not supposed to be stans because you cannot trust these reality TV people, but I just love Danny and Nia. I really do. Especially Nia. I like started following her on Instagram. I just love her. I really do. And just like her talking about her postpartum and, oh, I just love her. Okay. Not because she has postpartum. A lot of women have that. I just, you know, the way she talked about it, I thought was so like honest. And Danny just seems like, it seems like she chose the guy, the funny guy. Like, is he like the hottest? No, but he's like funny. And he just seems like he's so in love with her and they have a good thing. So I hope they work out, because if they don't, like, honestly, love is dead. Okay, so Nia said she wanted to wait and travel. Looking back, you know, she says Danny is happy that they waited because they got to like have those adventures. And James says when he has a kid, he will not be touring. He would stop touring and he knows he'd be a good dad. Okay. I hope James understands though that you would have to keep working. Like, I'm not saying like you can cut down on touring or I guess just maybe just work local. Maybe that's what he means. Katie and Lala talk about their rift, whatever we want to, the one-sided rift heard around the world. And basically, Katie says it's unfair because she says she was called miserable, sorry, because she has bad days. She says Lala has bad days too, where she seems off or not happy. And she says just because she was mad about Lala meeting with Joe doesn't make Katie miserable. I also think a lot of the reason people think Katie's miserable is because she's not like a bubbly, smiley type of girl, but not all women are. And it's just so inherently misogynistic to be like, God, she's miserable just because she's not like bubbly and like, ha ha, hee. Like, not all women are like that. It's like, it's the equivalent of like those guys that tell women to smile more. So I'm glad that Katie is just who she is. Lala says she vividly knows that she did not say that Katie was miserable. So that's Allie's interpretation. Allie kind of skated away from this like scot-free because, I mean, she chose the wrong word, obviously. I don't think she meant it maliciously, but I'm down with it. You know, Allie's helping to stir the pot a little bit. I don't mind it. Lala says that when not filming, Katie has expressed to her that she didn't see her life going this way and didn't think that 2 years out of her relationship with Tom, she would still be single. You know, it's hard to find good dudes because she wants a companion. Okay. So you're mad that she didn't say that on camera because you think that would make a good storyline and you think that maybe Katie's not sharing enough. I don't know. That's what it seems like. But again, I don't know. Like, Katie has shared so much on this show. In my opinion, Katie has shared way more than Lala has. We watched Katie's boyfriend pour a drink on her head. We watched the most visceral, just toxic fighting between her and Schwartz. We watched her talking about wanting to get married and how when Schwartz going to propose. We watched their terrible fights. We watched the nitty gritty everything, including the divorce. Like, Katie has given a lot. So if right now she just wants to be single and, you know, she doesn't want to admit that she's a bit fearful of not finding someone, I don't really think that's that big of a deal. I just don't. She's still sharing her actual dating. Like, she brought, you know, what was his name? Satchel. Sorry. She brought Satchel on the show. Okay. And I'm sure if there's a new guy who matters, she'll bring him on the show. Okay. Lala, meanwhile, we never really got to see her marriage in any sort of real way. And for years before, well, not marriage, relationship. And, you know, for a few years there, it was completely off camera. And she only had to engage in the drama with the group and never had to share any personal stuff. So there's that. Ariana says it's okay to have ups and downs and days when you're not as smiley. And Katie says she's just, you know, she's reactive in terms of how people are to her. So she's like, Lala needs to take that into account, which makes sense to me because obviously it's, you know, she feels like Lala's coming after her and like Lala is doing things that would piss her off. So makes sense. Okay, everyone. So that is it for today for Vanderpump Rules episode 12 after show. And I will hit you up again for episode 13. And if you are looking for bonus content, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. I pretty much talk about Vanderpump Rules almost every week in the bonus episode. Just like my thoughts on the week's episode, as well as like things that I didn't talk about here with the after show. I also talk a lot about Summer House and I do recaps of the Summer House after show. If you're interested in that, check it out. And, you know, I cover all sorts of Bravo topics, whatever's kind of coming up. Okay, everyone, I hope you had a fantastic week and let's all hope we get a good episode of Vanderpump Rules this week. And until next time, keep overanalyzing Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram at BravoandBotox and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.